Hello and welcome to Back to the Frame Race Movie Musings episode. Words.
That's all right. You know, it's late. We don't need words. We have movies.
That's right. That should be like the subtitle of our podcast. Who needs words? We have movies. Our bonus shows, we typically do our what we've been watching and kind of hobnob about what's going on in our lives. But we also have on this episode our Oscar pick game. So stick around for that. We're going to go over some of our picks for the Oscars, which is coming out. I cannot talk tonight. It's this upcoming weekend, which I'm really looking forward to. I don't think I've missed the Oscars in 30 years. So
I'm psyched.
I don't know how that's happened, but we'll get to that soon. But before we do that, we're going to do a quick little movie musing segment. I don't know if anyone else has watched as much as I have. I'm going to keep it super brief so we can get to our game. Unless anyone wants to go before me.
Kick us off, Nathan.
All right. So last week I got, maybe it was like 2 weeks ago. I checked out Driveaway Dolls.
Was it good?
Well, it was okay. This is the new
film. I was excited for it.
From Ethan Coen, half of the Coen brothers. I take it neither of you have seen this yet.
Not yet, but it's been on my list.
I'm of two minds with this film. On one hand, it's completely a throwback to 80s and 90s quirky Coen brothers films like Raising Arizona, a little bit of Fargo mixed in there. It has this dream sequence that kind of reminiscent of The Big Lebowski too. And it's also set in the late 90s, actually. So it's actually about these two lesbians who decide to go out and take a job driving a car from Philadelphia to Tallahassee. And there are lots of shenanigans, as you'd expect. It has some fun moments. I think the two leads, Margaret Qualley, I think new to me. I don't know what else I may have seen her in. And Geraldine Viswanathan. I'm sorry, everyone. But she's really good. She was one of the girls, the female leads in the movie Blockers from about 5 years ago or so, which I did like a decent amount. They make a good tandem, but I think this movie fell a little short for me if I had to rank them against other Coen films. Even though it's half a Coen, it still got their sentimentalities, the shooting and editing techniques that we've seen in their past films. It's all there, but it's still probably lower third tier Coen for me, which isn't terrible because most of their films are really good. But I don't know. It just felt like kind of like a facsimile of the essence of the Coen brothers. So it was kind of meh for me.
All right.
What's really crazy is I coupled this with this, I guess I'll call this Night of Feminism. If that's a weird, again, I'm probably going to cancel. I'm totally going to get canceled for this. I coupled this with a film that's possibly my favorite Russ Meyer film of all time. I rewatched the 1965 classic schlocky exploitation hot rod thriller Faster Pussycat Kill Kill.
What are these movies you're watching?
I probably mentioned this on the show in the past. I've been slowly working my way through the Russ Meyer filmography.
Yeah.
And most of his films are free and available on either YouTube or other random streaming services if you really kind of dig for them. This one is about three women, go-go dancers, who break free from their life at this nightclub and go on the run, end up killing a man, and then they take his girlfriend hostage. This movie is insane.
Sounds super fun.
The trio of women are so fun. Tura Santana is the leader of this bunch, and she is the most badass symbol of feminism I think that has graced our silver screens ever. So if you're someone who likes fast cars, tight jeans, big breasts, and exaggerated kills,
this movie was made for me.
For you. I'm not being hyperbolic at all. This is on the Roku channel. You can also find it on YouTube. It's not the best quality, but yeah. So this, I watched both these movies one night. So it was quite the pairing, but I think they actually make a pretty good double feature.
Nathan, have you seen Beyond the Valley of the Dolls?
I haven't. I'm working my way up through it. So there's so many Russ Meyer films I have not seen.
Yeah, so dude was prolific. He likes.
I've talked about how I'm going through Robert Altman, and I'm actually into the '80s now. And I'm watching. I have Robert Altman filmography on one hand and Russ Meyer in the other. And I'm going back and forth. It is crazy. The last thing I just want to say that I've done over the last couple of weeks, I want to talk about a book that I read. That I had a really great time reading. It's called Cinema Speculation, and it's by Quentin Tarantino. It came out in 2022. This was just an incredible read. I'm a big fan of his films, and as we all know, he's a scholar of cinema, world cinema, exploitation, grindhouse, and especially new Hollywood cinema. This book takes you on his journey as a young boy, experiencing the world of films through his eyes from the late 60s through probably around the early 80s. His insight and analysis on films is just riveting. He spends all the chapters of his book just talking about how films like Dirty Harry and Deliverance and Taxi Driver came to be, and it's just a wealth of knowledge. There's over 900 films that are name-dropped in this book, and so many stories about legendary directors and actors and actresses that I never knew that he shares in this book. So if you are a film junkie, a history junkie of movies, then you've got to check out Cinema Speculation. It's a fantastic read.
It's funny you bring that up, Nathan, because when you were talking about your double feature, it kind of sounded like Death Proof to me would fit in there from Grindhouse. You know,
I would definitely throw that into the mix, sure. So yeah, I'm going to stop there because there's definitely more that I watched. I rewatched Oppenheimer this past week, and I actually got more out of it because I actually turned the subtitles on and I got to get everything out of it that I wanted to. So that was cool. And I rewatched the first Denis Villeneuve movie, Dune, which I haven't had a chance to see the second one yet, which I'm looking forward to. I prepped myself by watching the first one again, which I loved doing. So that is my week. Anyone else like to share anything they've been watching or doing?
Ellie, what have you been up to?
Well, this week has been rather interesting. I've had to prepare for auditions, so I'm very blessed with that. And I just, it's exhausting because you have to learn all these lines, and then you had to switch characters and prepare emotionally for each character. And you go from the range of drama to comedy. So it's like, it's just really, but I'm not complaining. I love every part of it. And just setting up for an audition is a lot of work, you know, it's just a lot. But in the midst of all my auditions, I actually ended up catching a television series in Hulu called Snowfall. And from the moment, so Carla's been pushing me to watch the series, and I kept like, nah, I don't want to watch it. Nah, I don't want to watch it. You know, I was just like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But this past week, I finally said, let me take a look, because it was nothing else to watch. So, I mean, there is something else to watch, but I was like, let me try this. So Carlos watched the series in 3 months. I watched it 6 seasons in 1 week. Okay.
And that's 60 episodes.
Yeah, I watched them all in 1 week. That is freaking, I don't think I've ever done that, but
it was that good, huh?
I couldn't stop. I asked Carlos, how long did it take you to watch the series? He goes, I don't know, 3 months. I'm like, I just finished, like, legit on Sunday. I finished the whole series. And for the longest time, I didn't want to watch it. And then I finally got down to watch, and I couldn't stop watching the series. And, you know, it's such a well done. The director is, what's his name? John Singleton, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He died a while ago.
Yeah, he died while doing the series, actually.
Oh, really?
And one of the actors actually stepped in and directed a couple of the episodes, and he did a marvelous job. I have to say, every single actor in this series did an amazing job. There was not one actor in this series that was off. Everyone was on point. this is the story. The story plot is basically about how the CIA would come to South Central and started the epidemic of crack back in the 80s. Yeah. And it's sad. And basically the CIA will come in and bring the cocaine to these South Central, to these neighborhoods. They were doing that to get money, to buy, to basically, I guess, basically they wanted to fund the war in Nicaragua back in the 80s, and mostly the governments. And so while the characters are fictitious, what was happening at that period is true. You see, so it's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of violence, and you get to see a sense of what it might have been like back then, you know. And aside, the music is great. The music is great. Every, you know, you got the 70s, the 80s, the 90s music in there. Just a really well done series. I just couldn't stop watching it. It's like when I grab a book and I can't stop reading it. Same thing for me. So. And then I watched Dune, obviously. I took a breather from the series and went to watch Dune on Thursday. Oh, goodness. What an epic film.
It's so funny, Ellie. When I watched it, I was like, I bet Ellie likes this movie. It's so good.
I wasn't thrilled with the first part one. I almost got lost. It was slower. It just kind of like, it lost me at some times. But this movie... I get it. Like, it's just,
I loved it.
Yeah. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it's basically my week. Yeah.
What about going back to Dune for a second? I did rewatch the first Dune again, and I like it a lot, but it does have some pacing issues, first one. Especially the last 45 minutes of that movie kind of drags a little bit. I don't know. I think the whole movie does a little bit. I still like it a lot, but it's...
like it too.
I can't wait to see the second one. And
you're going
to
love it.
Yeah.
Do it on the big screen. You need the noise. You need the shaking. You need all of it.
You have to.
How did you watch it? Did you just watch it? Anyone see it in IMAX or just in a regular theater?
I went to the surround... not the IMAX, but the sound one. The one that has the big sound. That I'm sitting there and like the... you can feel the vibration in your seat. But Carlos wants to go see it again, but in IMAX.
Yeah, I would totally see it.
Down my neck of the woods. I'm going to try to go again.
I was stranded in Florida. My hotel checkout had already happened and it started pouring rain. So I was like, the best place for this is the movie theater. So I went to a theater chain that I had never heard of before. I think it's called IPIC, IPIC. I don't know if you all are familiar with this.
I've heard of that, Shane.
That is bougie movie watching. I get in there and I'm like, what is this like food hall, gorgeous hotel bar? Like, where am I? And I was like, why is my ticket $20? And then I get in the movie. I'm like, oh, I totally get it. I had like my own little seat. It was like two seats were sequestered together with a table, and you push a button, you get tableside service for your like concessions. It's insane. And they have blankets for you. And it was like just super cool. Yeah, it was like, I was like, all right, I get it. I get it.
It's the ultimate experience.
It totally was.
Have any photos of this?
I wanted to take a picture for our socials, and I realized I forgot. So I did take a picture of the screen when Timothée Chalamet shows up. So I do have that one. But yeah, it was awesome. But Ellie, you mentioned last time your film festival work. Is that over? Are you still doing it?
So, I took a break. I didn't watch any film.
Because she watched too much Snowfall. Okay.
Listen, if I didn't, I don't know why I started watching that series. That I think it was at the wrong time, because I'm like that. I was embedded into that series the whole week. I just couldn't. In fact, I had an audition where I had to play the mom of a drug dealer. One of my auditions. So watching the mom in.
So you're like, series, it's research.
Yeah, it totally was. Oh my God. I got to see this film. I got to see the series, because I got to see what this mom is doing for the son.
Oh, but, that's so funny. But
the thing about this, the series, is that what I got from the whole series, other than the violence and the obviously the epidemic of crack, which is so sad, what it did to people, is the story of that mom. It's just that mom and the son, and you see the change of the innocent boy, and he grows into this man and drug lord, and then he loses it all and ends up on the street with nothing. And the love of the mom, that the story, the journey of her, of the mom, that starts with the son being so innocent and they're so close together. And then in the middle, when he starts to be more into the drugs, selling, because he doesn't do drugs, but he sells the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And he builds an empire. He builds a huge empire. And he's the one that invents, well, he doesn't invent the crack, but he does brings it to the LA and South Central. Mm-hmm. And they call it the Rock. And so in the journey that he is basically, she sees him from when he's innocent. And the saddest part in this series is that towards in the middle of the series, they showed you how Franklin, the main character, ends up doing what he's doing, because he had a prominent career and he was in college and he was doing so well in college. But when he went to try and get his financial aid, it didn't work. They took out his financial aid.
Yeah.
And that alone put him back into the, you know, the hood again, and not able to go to college. And we lost this one amazing genius kid that would have been a great legit entrepreneur into the crack world. And the mom starts that journey of the mom, that she sacrifices so much for her kid to the point that at the end of the series, she ends up in jail because she'd rather see her son lost on the street than dead. Imagine that. And I'm just like, damn, that's just like,
yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So I play hooky and it was well worth it. It's
nice. So worth it. B, was there anything else?
Sure, yeah. I am like cleansing my brain from the Sopranos rewatch. And I mentioned last episode, I was like, maybe I'll do like a Doctor Who, just something kind of fun. But even that's like a commitment, you know, and the Sopranos was so heavy. So I am currently scrubbing in between my ears with The Good Place. And that is it's streaming on Netflix now, and they're shorty little episodes, especially without commercials on Netflix. It's super fun. So
did you watch all the Sopranos?
Yeah.
And how many episodes is that?
Okay, it was like more than you watch in more than a week. Sopranos took me months.
And how long did it take you to watch?
I don't know, months, like months.
Oh, it did? Oh, so you've been watching it over a month. Okay, but you're done?
But I'm done. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like months. And then, so now I'm just watching The Good Place, and that's like very bingeable. And I feel like that's one that I don't kind of mind falling asleep to.
What's The Good Place about?
The Good Place, it's Ted Danson and Kristen, forget her last name, and Jamila Al-Jamil, and she dies and she ends up in The Good Place, and it's supposed to be paradise, and Ted Danson runs it, but things happen, hijinks happens, and so she has to solve all these hijinks and hullabaloo and problems, and it's just very, very wholesome and fun. So I'm watching that, which is good, and then I did go see Bob Marley's One Love, my video's frozen. I don't know if you can still hear me, but cool. I saw One Love. It's not great. No. I know. I really wanted it to be a lot better. It's not the worst biopic I've seen, but biopic, I don't know. But it just fell a little flat. It also had some pacing issues. It didn't tell the story I thought it was going to tell, you know, that sort of big peace concert that's in the trailer that happens in the first like 10 minutes. Like it's really quick. And as usual, Lashana Lynch just spends like her back must hurt from carrying all these movies because she is just a standout star. I love her.
Okay.
So, yeah. That and Dune.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Is that it? For our movie musings?
That's it.
All right, cool.
That's enough.
That's
60 episodes later. I think that's enough.
Hello, welcome to Masterpiece Video. How may I help you this afternoon, sir?
I'm looking for a copy of 8 and a Half.
Is that a new release, sir?
No, it's the classic Italian film.
Yes, sir. Just check that on the computer for you, sir.
Hello, how are you young ladies this afternoon? May I help you find a particular Masterpiece movie?
No.
Yes, here it is. 9 and a Half Weeks with Mickey Rourke. That would be in the erotic drama section.
No, not 9 and a Half. 8 and a Half. The Fellini film.
How about this one? Get it. I'm sure it sucks. All these movies suck.
So let's move on to the other segment before we get to our Oscar pick game. I'm calling it right now movie prep, which is basically our recommendation shelf, and in which we recommend a movie to prepare for our upcoming review. Later this week, you're going to hear our episode drop for our review of Out of Africa. And what we're going to do is here, we are going to recommend a pairing with that movie that you might enjoy with a viewing, a double feature that night with Out of Africa. I don't know. We'll see. We might have a out of left field pick here. Who would like to begin with this? We didn't draw straws for this. Will it be me?
Do you want me? I can take it, Nathan.
Go for it.
Sure.
What do you got?
I am really excited to share this one with people because I'm not sure how many folks know about The Sheltering Sky, which is, of course, Bernardo Bertolucci's 1990 film starring Deborah Winger and John Malkovich and based on Paul Bowles's novel of the same name. Paul Bowles, of course, a prolific author who moved to Morocco and wrote a lot about his time there. So I recommend this because if you're about to watch or you have watched Out of Africa and you want more sweeping landscapes of the continent, it's great for that. But where it succeeds, where Out of Africa fails, I think, is it's much more scathing towards its main characters. I mean, this movie is dark and relentlessly so, and pulls no punches at mocking the way these white tourists sort of swan their way through post-war Northern Africa. So I think it's better in that facet. It's also just very interesting, very dark, and talk about a movie with atmosphere similar to Out of Africa. You can feel the heat, you can feel the sand, you can feel when it's grimy. I mean, it's really a very textured movie. Yeah.
When did this come out?
1990.
All right. I don't know anything really about this. I think I've heard of it, but I don't know much about this.
It's a little contentious. I think my love for it, I think some people have some very fair criticisms of it, but I would love if we watched it and talked about it because it's great.
This, you know what? We already recorded an Out of Africa episode, and I probably should have mentioned this during that, but I think this is it's a fascinating period during the 80s and actually going into 1990. It was shot in obviously like probably 1989, but this feels like it was a part of a series of films starting like in the early 80s that really kind of like fetishized like exotic.
Yeah, that voyeuristic. And
I think that was one of the detriments maybe to Out of Africa for some reason. I don't want to tip our hand about that review. I think of like movies like Gandhi or Chariots of Fire,
yes.
Passage to India, another David Lean movie, Empire of the Sun, movie we reviewed last year, The Last Emperor, all these movies that takes place in these exotic locations. I think the United States, the world was like you mentioned, voyeuristic. And I feel like the Hollywood was like buying these scripts, producing these scripts as fast as they could, showing these locations. Cause now we could travel to Africa, to India and see all these amazing vistas and especially Africa, where I think, you know, around this time, Hollywood wasn't making movies in Africa prior to the 80s. So yeah, I think that's interesting.
I think the book is much better because you can really get into the narrative of people's intention, which I think the movie doesn't communicate as well. But I think they're both really great depictions of what's trying to be communicated.
Great. Okay. I'll transition to my pick. So my recommendation is The Bridges of Madison County.
Mm-hmm.
From 1995. It's directed by Clint Eastwood. I think this is actually a perfect tie-in to our upcoming review of Out of Africa because it also stars Meryl Streep, again, who in both films received an Oscar nomination for Best Actress. It revolves around the Streep character who in this film is a housewife living in Iowa in the 1960s. She meets a photographer played by Clint Eastwood, who's on the assignment to photograph historic covered bridges. And yes, a romance ensues. Now, it's hard to explain why I like this film. It's possibly one of Eastwood's most mature and patient films he's ever directed. Mm-hmm. I believe this is the only time he's ever directed or acted in a straightforward romance. I'm trying to think. I actually don't think he's ever done anything like this before. He's got the reputation of playing the macho, stoic, strong, straight-laced character. Mm-hmm. But he reaches another level in this movie that he's never done in another film. Mm-hmm. And you know what it is? You know what it's called? It's called acting. He's putting on a performance that is rich, layered, and really heartfelt in this movie. He's got an amazing smile, you know, that comes out in this movie. It's really heartwarming. And of course, Streep is acting circles around him in this movie still.
Sure.
But I just find this movie to be very pleasant. I love its pacing, and the cinematography, of course, is gorgeous. I just really highly recommend this movie. It's a surprisingly extremely good movie that I remember when it came out. If it came out today, it would be a meme. I remember Bridges of Madison County. People joked about it because it was like, What is this load of garbage?
That's a good call. No, I think that's a great movie. Although hearing your review of Clint Eastwood, I kind of need to know how you feel about Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, I did like that a lot.
I like that too.
But he's kind of like Robert Redford in a lot of ways. He kind of has a lane.
Yeah.
But you've seen this, right?
I have. Okay. I have. Ellie, I like it.
Ellie, have you seen this movie?
The Bridges? Yeah.
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 Okay. And I buy this as a really heartfelt romance, which
it is.
Just surprised the hell out of me that Eastwood could do this. And I kind of wish that he would. I mean, he's 90 something now, so it's not going to happen anymore. But well, it could. But I'm just thinking that I wish that he had stretched himself as an actor more like this other times in his career, because he does he does almost meet Streep's performance. But it's very good.
It's very good. Yeah.
Okay. Ellie, do you have something you'd like to recommend?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Okay.
Oh yeah, travel romance.
Okay, yeah.
It's great love. Yeah. I really love this movie because you know what? She went and did F she wanted in this movie. And I love that it takes us to different places in the world. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it made me hungry when she was in Italy. I wanted to go eat pasta. Okay. And I love when she goes to India because she becomes, you know, I'm a lot into Buddhism and yoga and meditation. And she gets into that when she goes to India. And what's his name? Bardem is in this movie, right? It's Bardem.
He's
right?
great in the movie.
I love Bardem. And he was great in Dune too. Yay.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love anything that he does. And he is the love interest in this film for her. And after, you know, this woman. And I feel like a lot of women going through like middle-age crisis, I guess.
Yeah, midlife, yeah.
Yeah, middle-age crisis of women at a certain age who feel that they've done so much for everybody else and always pleased everybody else but never took care of themselves and suddenly just goes off, you know? It's like why not? You know, I've taken care of everybody else and now it's time for me to travel the world and take care of myself. Sometimes I feel like that. Sometimes I feel like I'm just going to pack and leave. Just travel, you know? So I think it's a nice film to watch. There's no violence unlike other films. And it's just a feel-good movie. And
totally a feel-good movie.
Any female who wants to have
wants to eat, pray, love.
Yeah, you pray. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because you eat in Italy, you pray, in India, and you find love in what's it?
Bali.
Bali. Oh my God, what a gorgeous place!
I know, right? Yeah. Field trip.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation.
That's a great pick, Ellie. All right, yes. And I haven't, we haven't mentioned this yet, but the Bridges of Madison County and Sheltering Sky are available on VOD. But Eat, Pray, Love you can watch now on Prime Video or Hulu.
I think I'm going to watch it again now that you mention it.
I think it's a great pick. I haven't seen it, I think, since
you haven't seen it?
13 years. I did see it. It's been about 13 years, though.
So you should have Laurie watch it, too.
We saw it together, yeah.
I did.
Okay. She read the book, though, too. That's why she turned me on to it, because she read the book, loved the book, and said, we got to watch this. So,
you know, one of the Eat, Pray, Love reminds me of the other movie, Walter Mitty.
The Life of Walter Mitty.
I really like Walter Mitty. I think that got really unnecessarily panned. I thought that was, I like that a lot. That's one of a movie I rewatch pretty frequently, actually.
Yeah, me too. I feel sometimes like Walter Mitty.
Yeah, I love that one.
Okay. All right. We are going to transition to our final segment of our bonus show, our Oscar pick game. Woo! So we did this a year ago, and high stakes, everyone. Unfortunately, Sam's not here to play along with us, but he is going to submit his pick, so he will be able to play along. He will be able to play along. He's just not going to be able to like give us his picks live on the show. So here's what we have about, I don't know, like 8 or 9 categories here for the upcoming Academy Awards. Is it the 86th Academy Awards? I forget offhand, which is this upcoming Sunday, March 10th, I think it is.
The 96, Nathan.
96 and 86, whatever.
We were just talking about 1986, though, to be fair.
86, yeah, okay. Yeah. And so the reason why we have high stakes here is because I think we sort of agreed, sort of, like, what we did last year, the winner of this, we're going to tally up the score. Whoever has the most correct scorecard gets to pick a movie that we as a podcast are going to have to watch.
Is that how it always came about?
Is it what?
Is that how it always came about last year?
Is that how?
I won
last year, so I picked Always.
Yeah, see?
Which somehow turned into a Spielberg retrospective. So that's how I have, but you know, this should have motivate all of us to try to
win this.
You bitches are going down.
Yeah, you're going down, man. And you're gonna have to watch something that I like this time.
Yeah. All right, it looks like actually Sam's already submitted his picks here, so that's good.
All right,
good. So we are gonna begin now. Our categories are, we're going to do Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Cinematography, Best Score, Best Original Screenplay, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. All right. And we don't have to get into like the logic behind our picks. I think that'll just take way too long. Mm-hmm. Maybe after the Oscars later, we could do maybe a quick postmortem on the Oscars and our thoughts on that. But for now, let's just do our picks, have some fun with this, and we'll see what happens. All right. So we're going to start off with Best Supporting Actor. The nominees are Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling in Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. We're going to start off with B. Who will win this?
I think Robert Downey Jr. has this one in the bag.
All right. And if you had to pick, who would you want to win?
And I say give it to him. I vote that one. I think this category was packed well. I like it the way it is.
All right. There was nobody you would swap out.
Not for this one.
Okay. All right. We'll move on to Ellie.
Yes.
Best Supporting Actor.
Iron Man.
And who would you want to win?
Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo. Okay.
The Hulk. Yep. Oh, yeah. I want the Hulk to win it. And
of all these nominees, are you happy with this, or was there anybody that you would swap out?
I don't even know who Sterling K. Brown is.
He was in American Fiction. So
you would like American Fiction, Ellie, if you haven't seen it.
Really?
Yeah, you would like it. Yeah.
So I'm going to say no one, because I don't, to be fair, I don't know. Okay. So yeah, no one.
All right. My pick, I also will go with Robert Downey Jr. Actually, I think I mentioned before, I did rewatch Oppenheimer earlier today. And he is fantastic in it. And
he is so good.
He deserves it. Three times a charm. This will be his third nomination. It'll be this. I think he deserves it, and he will win it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would love Mark Ruffalo to win, but I think Robert Downey Jr. will win this. Here's the one thing. If I did want to swap out somebody, I do have a thought on this. I would swap out Robert De Niro from Killers of the Flower Moon, because I think he's fine, but he's doing his thing.
That's so funny. I almost swapped him out too, Nathan.
What would you swap him for?
I absolutely put in Charles Melton from May, December.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he was overlooked for consideration. Okay.
Sir.
Robert De Niro, he doesn't need any more Oscars. He doesn't need any more nominations.
Yeah. It's fine. He's done.
Okay. Sam, he's not here tonight, but we'll mention it. He also put in Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's move on to supporting actress.
Okay.
All right. Nominees for supporting actress. We got Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Daniel Brooks in The Color Purple, America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. All right, we're going to go to B.
This was really tough for me to try and figure out who the Academy would pick, because part of me is like, are they going to go with Emily Blunt, even though it's a fine performance, but not who I would pick. And then Divine's been campaigning really hard. And of course, America, there was a big upset with her and not Margot Robbie being nominated. So I struggled with this one, but I eventually landed on, I think Divine might get it. I think she might get it.
Okay. And do you have an opinion on who you would want to win this?
I want America to win it. I think I talked about that in one of our episodes. She did great.
Yeah.
But I would make a swap in this one. Mm-hmm. As much as I didn't love Naiad, but I think it was terrible. I don't think that's an Oscar movie for me. And you have two fantastic women in Jodie Foster and Annette Bening there. But I would swap out Naiad for May, December as well. And for supporting actress, I would do Penelope Cruz in Ferrari.
All right.
She brought it in that movie. I don't love that movie, but she did a lot with a little.
I will say right now, I echo exactly everything you just said. That was actually who I was swapping out for exactly. I was taking out Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
And putting in Penelope Cruz.
Yeah.
100%. That's funny. We had exactly the same thought on that.
It's so much better.
And also, my pick was, am I skipping anybody? I probably jumped over Ellie. We'll get to you in a second. But since I already jumped in, I also went with Divine Joy Randolph is my pick.
For who you think will win or who you want to win?
I think both. When I saw them, and it might be kind of trendy because she's winning. By the way, Divine Joy Randolph has won everything.
Yeah.
SAG, Golden Globe. I think it's impossible for her not to win the Oscar for this. She has not won this award in every single award.
The Oscars likes to do up to this sometimes, though.
Yeah,
especially for diversity. You know what I mean? Like,
Ellie, do we get your opinion on this one, or do we already do it?
You went over it.
Okay, I'm sorry. What?
This was a hard pick for me because I like all the ladies, Jodie Foster. I would not swap anyone from this list. And I will say America Ferrera will win it, and I want her to win it.
Mm. Okay. Hell yeah, Team America.
You know I am.
All right. And just to round it out here, Sam put also America Ferrera.
Nice.
All right. So we're going to go to Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Best Actor, we have Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Coleman Domingo Rustin, Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy, Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. All right, B. Who will win? Who do you want to win?
It's Cillian for both, and it's not even close, I think. I've seen all these movies, and I just think Oppenheimer stands out by a mile in terms of performances here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Anybody would switch out in this category?
Totally would. I would switch out Bradley Cooper for Phoenix and Napoleon. He's just a little guy. He's just a funny little guy.
All right. That's funny. All right. Ellie.
Murphy will win it. Murphy.
Yeah, he will.
I want him to win it. And I will swap Bradley for DiCaprio because I freaking love DiCaprio. Fucking.
Yeah. It's okay. A good call.
Yep.
He is absent from this list. This
one. Yeah, he is.
I also think there's no way Cillian Murphy does not win this. Although I do want Paul Giamatti to win.
I knew you would.
But like you, B, I would definitely take Bradley Cooper out of this and put in Joaquin Phoenix for Bo is Afraid. Movie.
That's not gonna happen.
And to just round this out, Sam also would also pick is also picking Cillian Murphy to win this.
Yeah, he seems like the clear choice.
We don't have that much. We have a lot of alignment right now with our picks
because we're super smart and super cool and super good looking.
All right, let's get to actress in a leading role. We have Annette Bening in Naiad, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller. I hope I said that right. Is it Hüller?
I'm not. I think it's Hüller.
Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan, Maestro, Emma Stone, Poor Things. I think this is an interesting category.
It's pretty stacked.
Yeah. So, B.
Over to me. I think Lily gets it, and I hope she does. I was a huge fan of her performance. And of course, this is one of my favorite movies of the year. I will say Sandra Hüller in both Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall. I think she's giving outstanding performances and I can't wait to see what happens next. But this is Lily's year for me. In terms of who I'd swap out, I would get Maestro out of there. I would get Carrie Mulligan out of there and I would put in Portman for May, December.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ellie.
Lily Gladstone. Both.
Team Lily.
She'll win it. She's going to win it. And she's going to, I want her to win it. And I will swap. To be honest, I don't really care for anybody else. So just Lily. And Emma. Lily and Emma. And I can't find, I think the other three ladies, no offense, don't belong in this category. I'm sorry.
All right. I will pick also Lily Gladstone to win this. I also want her to win this. I think she deserves it. Absolutely. I would also swap out Annette Bening. I saw Naiad and I was like kind of nonplussed with the whole thing. But I would put in Greta Lee from Past Lives.
That's such an obviously good call. I can't believe I didn't think of that.
That's a great call.
Yeah. But I did think about Natalie Portman as well. But I felt really bad that I feel like Past Lives kind of got shafted in the Oscars.
Yeah. Good amount. It was a sleeper for sure. Everyone I talked to loved it, including myself, but sleeper.
All right, so we're going to move on to cinematography, and I just need your picks here. I don't care about, we don't need to worry about, who would you swap out in this category, anything like that. We have, the categories are El Conde, which I have not seen.
It's pretty fun.
Is it really?
It's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, or Poor Things? B, what's your pick to win?
What I think will win is Maestro. I think the cinematography is the only redemptive quality of that movie.
You think Maestro will win cinematography?
Oh, mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think Cooper's been desperate to get anything for an Oscar nom for an Oscar nod for this, and I think cinematography might be it.
Okay, Ellie, who's going to win cinematography of these movies?
Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer. All right. I think the Academy is going to give it to Oppenheimer. I think I watched it again today, and it really is excellent. So
I love the dream sequences. I heard people didn't, but I thought they were some of the best parts.
Sam is going with Oppenheimer. All right. So let's go on to, as soon as I pull up, music, original score. We have American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things.
Yeah, I think that one goes to... Sorry, I'm trying to find my own notes here. I think that probably goes to Oppenheimer. But honestly, I'm not a person who scores my weak subject. I don't always notice it. I don't. I know that's a deeply uncool thing to say, but for me, a really good score is kind of it just works with the movie. It doesn't stand out.
Ellie, we have to be experts on this. It can be a
Ludwig, because it got me. I tell you, if the music doesn't get me, I don't care for it. But Ludwig, it's good. So
Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
I think Oppenheimer is going to win. I really want Robbie Robertson to win, but I just don't think it's its year.
Yeah.
Kind of bums me out because I love the score for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost him last year too. So
yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to be Oppenheimer.
I think it's going to be Oppenheimer. Yeah.
And Sam for score, I will have to chase him down for his score. I think it's missing from his submission. That's okay. We'll get that after. Next up is original screenplay. All right. Original screenplay. We have Anatomy of the Fall, mm-hmm. The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives.
I'm going Anatomy of a Fall. I think this is where it finally gets its win. Ellie, what do you think?
Well, I was torn between The Holdovers and Past Lives, and I went with Past Lives.
Mm. It's a good movie.
Yeah, that's a good pick, too. Yeah. I also went with Anatomy of a Fall here. Mm-hmm. I think this is the spot where it gets its win. And Sam went with original screen, but he went with Past Lives.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We got some different scorecards finally here. let's go to adapted screenplay. We got American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest is just such an Oscar movie, right? I feel like it's got to be that one.
I finally got to it this week. I didn't talk about it earlier, but...
How'd you feel about it?
I didn't even know what to say.
Yeah, it feels like it would be the pick for the Academy, but I don't think they're going to go with a Sandra Hüller movie twice. So I would say probably Oppenheimer.
Yep.
What's the zone of it? I don't even know what the zone of interest is about.
That's okay.
So I don't know.
What do you got, Ellie?
Oppenheimer. The GOAT, Christopher Nolan.
And my pick,
I was thinking Poor Things.
I do like Poor Things too, though. But
it was good, but I don't think it wins this. It's not Oscar.
I'm also adapted screenplay. This is where I am going to go off on some crazy idea.
Oh boy.
I think Barbie's got to win something.
Oh yeah, shoot.
I'm going to go with Barbie. I think Greta Gerwig, Noah Baumbach, this is their Oscar.
Oh, I think they get costume or set design.
Greta Gerwig's got to win something. She didn't get nominated for best director, and they're not going to win best picture. And this is the consolation
Oscar.
I think so.
Nope. Interesting.
I seriously doubt it, but
I gotta do something different here. Mm. And this is my play.
I'm true to my Nolan. That's all I have to say.
Okay. And for adapted screenplay, we're on adapted, right? Sam went with also Oppenheimer.
Mm.
And I will probably, this will probably, this is where I win or lose this game right there.
You'll lose it.
Okay. I'm going to probably lose it right there.
I'm going to win it.
Okay. We are on to Best Director. And we have Justin Trier with Anatomy of the Fall, Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, Jonathan Glazer, Zone of Interest.
I think Nolan gets it. I think he gets it. I want Scorsese to get it. And I would swap out Zone of Interest. I would swap that out for Barbie, for Gerwig getting the nom, just for what she was able to pull off.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ellie.
Definitely Christopher Nolan. It's going to win it. I want him to win it. And I'll swap the same person that B did with Barbie, director.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Christopher Nolan's going to win this.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
But I want Yorgos Lanthimos to win because I love all his films.
He's just a freaky guy.
Yeah. He is. And I would definitely take Jonathan Glazer out because I don't know what's going on there. And I'm conflicted with him also in a lot of his films, but he hasn't done that many films, but what I have seen. I'm sad that Alexander Payne wasn't nominated for Holdovers.
I'm not shocked.
And I would have put Alexander Payne in over Jonathan Glazer.
Not Barbie director.
All right. It's the big one next. Best picture.
So there's a lot of those here. Let me pull up best picture.
Oh, wait, what was Sam's pick?
Oh, Sam also picked Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Best picture. Nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. B.
Mm-hmm. I think Oppenheimer totally gets it. I would take Killers of the Flower Moon over Oppenheimer. And I would swap out Maestro and replace it for Napoleon. I think it's insane Napoleon didn't get anything.
I'm looking forward. Now it's on Apple TV. It just hit
you gotta
that.
Do but it.
I want to wait till the 4-hour comes out. I don't know when that's going to be. But
why deny yourself two Napoleons? Just watch it again.
I know. Ellie, what movie is going to win Best Picture?
Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I want Oppenheimer to win. And okay, I'll swap Maestro for Napoleon, even though I haven't seen it, but I love the actor.
I love freaking Joaquin.
So anything Joaquin does, I'm gonna love. So it doesn't matter if I haven't seen it yet. I'm going with a Joaquin movie.
Well, what you liked Fassbender and The Killer too, right?
The Killer on Netflix?
Yeah, didn't you like that?
Yeah, but
not for this.
It's just for films on theater.
Yeah, it's just for Best Picture.
But in theater, not in Netflix.
I saw it in a theater.
Keep in mind that the Academy recognizes movies now that go to streaming platforms as long as it has at least a small theatrical release. So a lot of these movies out, like Maestro, that was only like in like a few theaters, but then, that was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't want you supporting Napoleon, because more Napoleon wins.
And I'm no, so definitely Maestro gets replaced by The Killer.
Yeah.
Because okay. That was such a freaking good movie.
That was a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. And Best Picture, Oppenheimer. Although I really would prefer to see Killers of the Flower Moon win.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to swap out something, I would take out Maestro. I think that's my least favorite of all of these films.
Oh, yeah. I didn't enjoy Maestro.
Nothing. I don't have really anything. I don't hate it. Mm. I just felt like it was nothing special. And I'd put in Godzilla -1.
That's a good one.
I really am sad that that did not get a Best Picture. I thought there actually was a shot. Mm-hmm. Because I think that movie has a lot to say. And
I still got to see it.
You can swap The Zone of Interest for Godzilla.
And I'm not surprised. I have a hard time taking The Zone of Interest out, because as much as I wasn't in love with it, and I can't say even liked it, I kind of get why it was nominated.
It's such an Oscar movie.
I don't think Maestro was a very good movie. It was... The more I think about it, the more I kind of sour on it. So that's where I'm at.
I'm on a single-handed mission to take down Maestro as a good film.
So, and Sam also picked Oppenheimer as well.
You go, Sam.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, just to, you know, our lists are very similar, but outside of a couple of things, I would not be surprised if more than one of us have the same list here. Yeah. Like, Ellie and Sam might be in lockstep 100%. I think you two are.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, outside of cinematography that you picked, you picked Maestro, and the fact that I took adapted screenplay for Barbie, those are the only two things that are different between B's list and my list.
Oh, man. Either we're all going to have egg on our face, or we all look super smart.
It's gonna be really tight. It's gonna come down to just a few things, but what I don't know is score, which for Sam, which I'm guessing he might pick Oppenheimer unless he does
Oppie.
Something. Yeah, but I'll text him and see what he has to say about that. But I think that's my fault for maybe not putting it in the agenda notes. But anyways, okay. Well, there it is. The Oscars are this Sunday on March 10th. I'll be looking forward to watching it. Maybe we could do a watch party. I don't know if they still do. If we could, I can't wait.
It's an OPP year. How can I explain it? I'll take you frame by frame. You know that rap.
Yeah.
By the way, I know we don't have to do this. Are there any other categories that you want to comment on in this before we wrap this up? Animated feature, or I don't know, or international feature film? Anyone catch any of these? You don't have to make this part of the pick, because I missed a lot of these.
Society of the Snow.
Yeah, international feature film. Is it Io Capitano from Italy? Perfect Days from Japan. I can't wait. I still really want to see that. Here, that's amazing. Society of the Snow is from Spain. Teacher's Lounge from Germany. And Zone of Interest from it's a UK movie. I didn't actually know that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are those. Society of the Snow, it probably is a good chance. But I think from what I'm reading, Perfect Days is really a fan favorite in that category. I
haven't seen it yet.
But we'll see. But Zone of Interest was nominated for Best Picture. So how does that not win that category?
Zone of Interest. I have such mixed feelings on that. I was looking at animated because I loved The Boy and the Heron so much. But I think Spider-Man takes it.
And it's gonna take it because that's what I want.
I did
love The Boy and the Heron, but Spider-Man, man, just
Yeah, a lot of people love that one. I haven't seen Elemental, and I won't. But Nimona could be good. I just haven't seen it, but I don't see it topping The Boy and the Heron for me.
No, I think it's going to come down to The Boy and the Heron or Spider-Man. Miyazaki, has he won this?
He must have. For Spirited Away, maybe?
I don't know.
Godzilla Minus One is under Best Visual Effects.
Well, so, yeah. I
mean, you wanted it to win something.
It might win that. Who knows?
Yeah, he won Spirited Away.
He did.
Yeah.
For animated feature film?
For animated feature. And he's been nominated for Howl's Moving Castle, The Wind Rises, and Boy and the Heron.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get the nod, especially for such a career retrospective of a movie.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really high on Boy and the Heron, but I don't have a problem. We're going to have more Spider-Man, but we're not going to have many more Miyazaki movies. This probably is his last. You never know. But so I can't. And there we get another Spider-Man movie coming out possibly within the next year. So the conclusion to these animated films. So it's going to have its shot. So I'm not worried about it. But yeah, I hope he's there. And that would be wonderful if he gets on. If he's there and accepts an award, that would be pretty cool. All right. Well, I think that's it. Let's wrap this up. This is a long bonus. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for listening to our extended bonus episode that was just as long as our feature episode, but this was necessary. Our picks are now locked in, and let us know what you think. Are we crazy? Do we do this right? What are your Oscar picks? Let us know.
Send us
an email.
And, get it? Let us know. Let us know.
Send us an email, Nathan. Just write us a review.
Write us a review. Anything.
Nathan is like,
is this thing on? Is this, you know? Let us know. Exactly. All right. That is all, everyone. Thanks for listening, and catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.